This is DW News, and these are our top stories. Leaders of the world's wealthiest countries have pledged to pay for the fair distribution of COVID-19 vaccines and testing so that poor countries aren't left out. The move came during a virtual G20 summit hosted by Saudi Arabia. The focus was on ending the pandemic and dealing with its economic fallout. Ethiopia's Prime Minister has given leaders in the northern region of Tigray a 72-hour ultimatum to surrender, threatening an all-out assault if they don't. The Ethiopian military has warned civilians to leave the regional capital Mekele before the deadline. Fighting between the government and Tigray forces began over 2 weeks ago. Human rights groups say Belarus police have arrested more than 300 demonstrators in the capital, Minsk. Many of them were beaten. Thousands protested for the 16th straight Sunday, calling on President Alexander Lukashenko to step down. They accused the president of rigging elections in August. This is DW News from Berlin. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram or visit our website, dw.com.
I'm in Munich and I want to get up there.
Old Peter, as the bell tower of the city's oldest parish church is called, is known for its spectacular view. But
306 steps. That's kind of exhausting.
It's worth the effort though. Up here, the whole city is spread out before you.
That's the perfect view. Down there, you can see Marienplatz Square. That's the town hall. And right behind it, the Frauenkirche.
Munich is packed with cultural treasures. That makes it a favorite destination for history and culture buffs from all over the world.
Today, I want to find out what Munich's got to offer for tourists who come here for education. Well, what's on offer, who uses these offers, and where's the difference between an educational trip and a normal holiday? Well, I'm looking for answers and you're coming along.
We'll tag along with a group of Americans as they tour Munich. Meet two Colombians who show us around their hometown, Zipaquirá. And we get a tour of Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula in this week's viewer video. First off, to get an idea of what an educational trip is, I meet Geraldine Knutson of the Munich Tourist Board on Marienplatz. I'm guessing learning adventures usually start here, right?
Yes, the standard ones do. It's from here that Munich evolved. This is actually the intersection of the two districts, Sendling and Schwabing. They're older than Munich itself. The Salt Road passed through here, and salt was sold by the Mariensäule, Mary's Column. This is where the monks lived, which is where Munich got its name. And this was the main market square. When it got to be too small, the market moved to the Viktualienmarkt, and this square survived because nobody was allowed to build on it.
Right on Marienplatz, you'll find the Doniesel, a traditional restaurant popular with tourists and locals alike. It serves all kinds of Bavarian specialties, from pork knuckles to veal sausage, and if you're lucky, musical accompaniment. We're ordering what's known as a Brotzeitbrettel, typical for Munich. Dankeschön. What's here on the board?
We've got a variety of Bavarian specialties. Here in the cheese corner, we've got the Obatzer, a specialty consisting of camembert and butter, very rich but very tasty with red onions. And we have various sausages here, and that's pork lard with cracklings and dried onions.
This is an educational trip for me. Is sampling the local specialties a part of that?
Culinary art is absolutely culture, yes. We have a lot of high culture, orchestras, 60 museums, everything the heart desires in terms of classical and contemporary art. And then we've got a broad spectrum of everyday culture. There's beer and beer gardens, eating and drinking and spending time together. All this makes it possible even for visitors to take part in the city's life and activities.
What's the difference between a learning holiday and a regular one?
Widening your horizons has a lot to do with getting to know a city's culture, as if you were actually living here. You could learn how kings had their houses built on Odeonsplatz over the centuries, for instance, or contemplate the urban art, or watch people surf on the Eisbach. Simply discovering that Munich is so much more than beer and tasty food, things that Munich is often reduced to, unfairly. We're trying to open up and say, hey, Munich has a lot to offer, a whole range of culture and learning opportunities.
I don't want to reduce Munich, but I'd still like to just
have a bite,
taste a little Obatzer.
Apparently, educational trips to Munich are very popular, no matter what, arts, culture, history or food. But before we continue with our educational offerings, here's a brief overview of what you should know about Munich.
Munich is the capital of the state of Bavaria and lies in southern Germany within sight of the Alps. About 1.5 million people live here, with over 8 million tourists passing through the city annually. Munich is probably best known for the world's largest beer festival, the Oktoberfest. But visitors to the city will find much more than just typical Bavarian culinary treats. There are also many sights to see. For instance, the Frauenkirche, the Viktualienmarkt, and Odeonsplatz. Munich also has an impressive array of art venues. Over 60 museums and galleries vie for attention here.
I'm going to spend some time in one of those museums, the Alte Pinakothek, because I want to learn about the art in Munich. A good 700 paintings by European artists from the 14th to the 18th centuries are exhibited here. I'm getting a private tour from art historian Carolina Gladon. She'll be revealing some of the secrets of the Alte Pinakothek's treasures.
First, let's have a look at this world-famous self-portrait of Albrecht Dürer.
Even I know this one.
It's the self-portrait with fur-trimmed robe.
Why did Dürer paint himself in this pose?
At that time, artists were more or less unknown, nameless. They were considered craftsmen. And the way Dürer represented himself here was something completely new.
New for the year 1500, that is. This representation of himself bears a resemblance to Christ, for whom, until that point, frontal perspectives like this had been reserved. Could you take a picture of me with Dürer? Conceited Stege with the conceited Dürer? The next painting is by Albrecht Altdorfer. It depicts the famous Battle of Alexander of Issus in the year 333 BC.
After just a quick look at the painting, can you point out Alexander to me?
He's on that rickshaw thing, which is being pulled by three horses. That guy perched above the others. I'm guessing that's him.
You'd think so. He's rather prominent. But interestingly, that's actually Darius.
I picked the loser of the battle. Carolina Gladon assures me that it happens to a lot of museum visitors.
It's hard to overlook the cord hanging down from the tablet. And if you follow the cord straight down, it will lead you to Alexander sitting on a horse. It's as if your eye is being directed to where you should look in the picture.
Next comes this huge painting, The Last Judgment by Peter Paul Rubens.
Now we're in the 17th century, the Thirty Years' War. This was the tallest work, and it determines the proportions here. It's really the most magnetic selfie motif here in the Pinakothek. You can't imagine how many people pose in front of it. The Last Judgment of all things.
That's my cue.
I'm not the only one learning something during my educational trip to Munich. So did a tour group from the US. Well, they were not on their own, but with Road Scholar. That's a non-profit educational travel organization, and we tagged along.
And the main room, there's only one really, we also have...
Guide John Langton is showing a group of American travelers one of Munich's most popular attractions, the famous Glockenspiel on the old town hall at Marienplatz. But this is a very particular group of tourists.
Special because there's diversity of people who come, people who are on the whole well-educated, reflection of what happens in the state's education system, knowledgeable people, but also people who are inquiring and people who want to see something new and perhaps hear a different perspective.
This group of knowledge-hungry Americans is on a week-long tour of Munich and Bavaria, organized by Road Scholar. They're spending an entire day on the sites in Munich city center.
Road Scholar was founded with the intention of providing educational adventures for older age groups based on the idea of lifelong learning. And it's a non-profit organization. So the revenues from these trips can fund other social projects and new programs as well.
The next stop is the late Baroque Azam Church. Road Scholars programs are aimed at older travelers who appear to have a special interest in educational travel. They include not just tours, but also talks by professors and other experts. The organization offers over 5,000 adventures in 150 countries. The group moves on to Munich's Frauenkirche.
The main thing here is just to get the volume of this building in your mind and to see what has been done.
Most of the participants appreciate the background knowledge and details they learn on the tour.
I've done other guided tours in Germany, and this was a bit more thorough. He's definitely got more background.
It's much better than sitting home reading about things. Just go places and it becomes interesting and touches you. And then you go back and you can read and learn, you know. It opened my mind.
For most of these nine people, seeing the Residenz was the highlight of the day. It's the former city palace of Bavarian princes and kings. The group visits only a few special rooms, such as the antiquarium, but the explanations are comprehensive. Carolyn Anderson has done a lot of educational traveling.
And they're now embedded into the wall.
38 trips. Yeah, I like Road Scholar. I've been many places with him.
After almost 8 hours, the tour is nearing the end. But everyone in the group is still listening intently. One should never underestimate a traveler's endurance and thirst for knowledge.